Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" May the Lord bless the reading of his word and obeying it.
This morning, we are very glad to have Brother Edmund to share God's word with us. He entitled his message, Holiness in Our Daily Lives. Edmund?
Mic check. Can you hear me from the back? Mic check, can you hear me from the back? Okay. Just test. Oh, okay, works. All right, morning brothers and sisters in Christ. This is part two of the exhortation, my personal Bible study from Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19 is the book that we will encounter. As I mentioned, Leviticus is a book that we as Christians have avoided for many months, many years. But this was quite different in the Old Testament days. The Old Testament days, the first book that Jewish children were taught was Leviticus. And the reason why it was taught is because that was the only way, Leviticus is the only book which told the Jews how to communicate with God. There was no other way of communicating with God, no email, no mail, no phone call, no WhatsApp, nothing. The only way to communicate with God was through the book of Leviticus. And the first eight chapters of Leviticus sounds like a lot of do's and don'ts, do this, do that. And then it also are tied to a lot of ancient rituals which are now, why are we doing this? Why are we cutting this? Why are we waving this? Why are we fasting here? So many of these are lost, right? But as I studied Leviticus chapter 19, I found that this is a very interesting chapter. And this is a very interesting chapter because it removes all the rituals. And it's just a set of moral commands, all right? Let us engage Leviticus chapter 19. And we start off with chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. And verse 1, it says, Yahweh said to Moses, A, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them. Okay, and the word here, entire assembly, means the nation of Israel. So now the chapter begins with God commanding Moses. And Moses is to communicate the whole of chapter 19 to all of Israel. And what was Moses supposed to say? Moses was just supposed to say this, be holy, which is the rest of chapter 19. Why? Because I, the Lord Yahweh, am holy. And it is quite a fantastic opening, if you think about it. Because God says to the nation of Israel, I want you to be holy. And the only reason why you are to be holy is because I, your God, I am holy. So it's like this. Okay, I'm a punk. So as a punk, we have certain values. We say to the next generation of punks, look, you are a punk. And because you are a punk, we have certain set of values. Simply because of that. So you might be a Tan, you might be a Sito, you might be a Pereira, whatever it is, you are that, your family takes on that trait. And you will find in Leviticus chapter 19, there are about 10-12 references scattered throughout Leviticus chapter 19, which says, I am the Lord, or I am the Lord your God. And this is interesting, because it says this. Look at verse 2. It says, be holy because I, Yahweh, your God, am holy. So, God begins with acclaim, I am Yahweh, I am your God. And this is a bold claim. So, my question today, my challenge here today is, brothers and sisters, are we Yahweh's people? Do we have that relationship with God? For those who have no relationship with God, today is the day. Today is the day to find relationship with God. Why? Because in Leviticus is all about pointing to one sacrifice who can mediate, who can come between a sinful person, sinful man, and a holy God. This is all Leviticus is all about. How does a sinful man communicate with a holy God? And through the sacrifices which are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when God says to Moses, I want the nation of Israel to be holy because I am their God, he was effectively saying that the nation of Israel cannot communicate with us directly except through the sacrifice, or cannot communicate with God directly except through the sacrifice. And today we have this sacrifice. He is the one and only Jesus Christ who can take away all sin. And we can have this communion with God today. Next, we realize as we study chapter 19 that holiness is not just a concept, you know. Hey, what's the concept of holiness? It's not a concept, it's rooted in practical acts, in practical ways. All right? Number three, we realize that holiness is not limited to the church. Some people think that, oh, I come to church, I got to be holy, but outside I don't have to be so holy, lah. I mean, a little bit less is okay, lah. But no, if you look at Leviticus chapter 19, there is no geographical restriction. That means wherever you are, you got to be holy. There's no time restriction. That means only certain holy days or certain prominent days, then only you be holy. No. It's no, it doesn't refer to a particular culture only if you're this culture. No. It refers to the community of God's people. Holiness must characterize this church. Holiness must characterize our lives. That is effectively what God tells Moses to tell the Israelites. So we move on. So we look at some of the practical aspects of this holiness that God demands. Verse 3, each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. So I just focus on the first part. Each of you must respect your mother and father. Children, you must respect your parents. Hey, but I'm more than 21 already. I'm an adult, you know. I can vote. I myself father now. My son is married. But it doesn't detract. I'm still a son. I'm still a son. I see my father. I greet him. I don't just walk into the house and just sit down. Children, you must respect your parents. Why? For no other reason that Yahweh expects it. Yahweh expects it. Rebellious children, you have to respect your parents. Sometimes it doesn't sound nice. Sometimes they also remind us too often that we nag lah. Sometimes the parents nag a little bit lah. But still, the biblical command is to respect your parents. That's number one. Number two, parents expect your children to respect you. Expect that. You are the parents first, then only your friend. You are parents first, then friends. You expect your children to respect you. And this, I know, is a difficult message. Why? Because now, modern day, my children like this, let them grow up, they will later learn. No! They got to learn from day one. Okay, we move on. Verse 32. Let me read verse 32. Rise up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. You see, standing up in the presence of the aged, showing respect to the elderly, is related to revering God, you know. Christians, I've seen this firsthand. I've seen this maybe about 15, 16 years ago in a different church. An older Christian, maybe 40-ish, greeting a much older man, uncle, of course his older sister, older lady worshipper, auntie. Yeah. Get up. Young people, learn to respect your elders. This is a difficult message for younger people to listen to, but it's important. I give you an example. My mother was 78, and she had to go to the hospital quite frequently. And she was very frail because she had cancer. She was very frail. And when she went to SGH by MRT, with my father, of course, when they saw her, the people just give up her seat. You know, last time don't have those priority seats. Young people, give up the seats. That should be the way. How many of the young people here, when you see an older man, older brother, older sister here, hey, good morning, uncle, good morning, auntie? None. Older people here expect that. Respect for elders extends to the church, church leaders. I've given the references there. I know this is a hard message to listen to, especially for young people. Why? Because we don't grow up that way. Number one, in school, like that, what? Number two, at home, my father also never said anything, what? My grandfather never said anything, who are you? So I want to confront young people from the Word of God. Number two, let's look at it. Let's read 26, verses 26. Do not eat any meat with blood still in it. Do not practice divination or sorcery. Do not cut up your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. Why? I am the Lord. And it goes on in 31. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Let me explain this. This was the practice of the surrounding nations. The surrounding nations did this. So what God wanted to do was tell the Israelites, when you enter into the land of Israel, you must be separate. You must have a different mindset. Don't acquire the practices of the neighbors. All right? Now, let me just clarify a few things. Divination and sorcery. There was a practice of necromancy. I'll explain this necromancy. Necros means dead. Necromancy means to consult the dead. And you will find that many countries, even in Southeast Asia, they have this practice of consulting the dead. That's number one. Number two, you will find that there are many countries which also now practice consulting mediums. All right, you don't see it here in Singapore, but when I grew up, that's 50, 60 years ago, you will find along the streets of Chinatown, maybe brother Deacon Lawrence might know, they used to have a cage with a parrot, and this parrot would pick up the sticks. All right, my mother never went to that, you know, and my mother reasoned. What my mother reasoned, after 10 years, every stick will be picked up already, right? I mean, you consult for what? I mean, every stick will be picked up already. So even she knew. So what I'm saying is, this was common in Singapore. It is still practiced in certain parts. And there are some mediums which are like tarot cards. You know what the tarot cards are? Those cards that fortune teller, that kind of thing. And I was surprised. This I went to Gold Coast. This was maybe 15, 20 years ago, maybe 20 years ago when I was in Gold Coast. I saw these tarot shops, you know, just along the road, openly. So don't do that. people used to consult palm readers. Hey, this line means you long life lah. This line means short life lah. This one here means your what you be clever or stupid or whatever. And one when I was growing up, this was interesting. We were playing football one day. I was about, I don't know, 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever it is. Then we were looking at one guy's hair, you know, looking at the head, and they say, hey, this guy got 3 wheels, you know, and he say, oh, this guy's super naughty. I don't know. I mean, at that time, I also just follow along. But those were the kind of things. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't follow the practices of other people. Okay, we move on. This is very close to my heart. Please turn with me to verses 33 and 34. This is very close to my heart. When an alien or a resident foreigner, that means PR work permit, lives with you in your land, that means in the land of Israel, in this border of Israel, do not mistreat him. That's number one. Don't ill-treat him. Don't torture him. Number two, the resident foreigner must be treated as one of your native born. That means he must be treated as a Singapore passport holder, you know. Love him as yourself. This guy is a foreigner, you know. Love him as yourself. Why? Because you all were also resident foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, in these two verses, it's very compact. First thing is, you are not allowed to mistreat him. Second thing, even higher than don't mistreat him, you got to love him as yourself. Treat him as a Singapore PR, a Singapore passport holder. He is in your country, you are responsible. He's in your household, you are responsible. He's in your department, you are responsible. He's in your project, you are responsible. He's in your sales team, you are responsible. Brothers and sisters, do we take this seriously? Or we just say his income salary cap is like that, and he's so below this income salary cap, we can just anyhow treat. We can't. Love him as yourself. Why? You were residents in Egypt. Why? Last time you also were slaves. Why? You all were slaves for 400 years. I am the Lord means what? You know, it's not an appendix. You know, it's not just, okay, you were here 400 years, so I'm the Lord. No, there's a connection there. And what it means is this. When you were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, I, your God, had helped you. Therefore, I expect you to have the same compassion to those who live among you. Brothers and sisters, measure ourselves against this. How many times have we ill-treated a foreign worker? Sometimes in our hearts. A project team member from another country doesn't speak English so well. His Mandarin also. How many times when he has a different culture, he doesn't understand our culture? How many times have we, this guy, no point. How many times do we harbor this in our hearts? Love him as yourself. You have that responsibility because he lives among you. Brothers and sisters, it breaks my heart when Christians don't treat other people fairly. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. In summary, Leviticus was the first book the Jewish children learned in a synagogue. Why? Because it was the only way to communicate with God. A sinful people communicating with a holy God. And it was always, always through a sacrifice. We have that sacrifice today, brothers and sisters. For those who do not know the good news, we have this sacrifice. Jesus can take away our sin. He can let us, sinful men, communicate with a holy God. Next, when we study Leviticus 19, and I've only just picked out several verses, we realize that holiness is expected in our daily life. Holiness shall characterize us. How do we know he's a Christian? By his lifestyle, by his holy living, not by the name card he carries or by the tag he wears in. Holiness is based on no other basis apart from God's character. God expects it. We are the community, we are the children of God, we expect to bear his character. One of it is respect for parents, fathers and mothers, young men, young women, teenage children here. Respect your parents. Greet them in the morning. Greet them in the morning. Don't just, yo. Yo, what's for dinner? Huh? Hey, yo, I'm going out. Hey, yo, you got $200, yo. Come on. Respect your parents. Number two, parents, demand that. Demand that. Teach them. Teach them that this is right. When you go out, when you come into a community or church, younger people, respect. Respect, call. Good morning, deacon. Good morning, elder. Good morning. Hey, don't just, like, inaudible. You go call deacon next. Hello, good morning, deacon next. Nobody can hear that. Hey, do you call deacon? Yeah, I call deacon next. Really, what you shout at me? Hey, let's be open about it. You want, let's have a full-throated, good morning, sir. We do this in SCF. But we don't do this in this church. Reject the ungodly practices around us. We see this, we reject. One of them is to consult mediums. Don't do that. Consult the Word of God. Consult the Word of God. Consult godly people. And finally, practice compassion on the resident foreigner. It breaks my heart, brothers and sisters, when we don't do that. All right? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this. Leviticus chapter 19 is just it's a reflection of your character, O God. Father, forgive us, Lord. We have not taken it seriously. As children, we have not respected our parents. As parents, we have not taught our children well. Father, forgive us, Lord. Help us to do better this week. Father, Lord, help us to realize that holiness is just based upon your character. It's something that you expect from us, from the children of God, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to do better again this week. Help us to reflect your character more this week, oh God. Father, help us to reject the practices like consulting mediums, consulting ungodly practices. Help us to realize that we should consult the Word of God. Forgive us, Lord, for many times we have looked down upon the resident alien, resident foreigner, Lord. Help us to love him. Help us to not to mistreat him, but to love him simply because he is in our midst. Father, we commend ourselves this week to your loving hands. Help us to live a godly life, oh God, before you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Can we just ask the congregation to come forward, please?